Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton and Mark Halleck, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey. Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton and Mark Halleck. I'm Dan Hurst. Kyle Bierman at the controls. So if it sounds good, you can blame him. And we are doing a whole series of podcasts in the basement of Calvary Inglewood, where Mark Halleck has the privilege of pastoring.
Man, if you get listen, guys, and I'm talking to anyone listening. If you got to come visit us, if you're ever in Denver, come worship with us at Calvary. We need friends out here, man.
We need some people, man.
We need some people. Come move. Come be part of what we're doing. I'm serious.
Yeah.
People out here, man, so many lost people who need Jesus. And that's true everywhere. But Colorado, man, we need the gospel. So,
missionaries. Anyway. We need visitor missionaries.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, one of the things, you know, you're talking about people need the Lord. That's exactly what we're talking about today in today's podcast. And that is, how do you develop a strategy? And I love that you put the words in here, Halleck, a simple strategy.
Simple.
To mobilize your people for evangelism. Mm. Everybody knows we got to go out and win the lost. Mm-hmm. And everybody talks about it. And everybody will take the courses. And they've got their, you know, their methodologies and everything. But then we don't do it.
That's right.
We'll plan for it.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll program for it.
We like to talk about it. But we don't actually do it.
But we don't do it. It
doesn't turn into action.
Yeah. What's that all about?
And I would say that, and there's so many great tools. I mean, that's the thing. It's almost overwhelming. I feel like all the time there's new resources and books and tools coming out, which is great. What we found when we came to Calvary, when my wife and I and our family came to Calvary years ago, is like so many declining churches, Calvary was no longer impacting not only the community, but reaching the lost in any intentional way with the gospel. And this is true of so many declining churches. I mean, you look back in their history. Man, there was a time where they were on fire to share the gospel, and they wanted to reach that community. I promise you. I mean, when this church was planted back in 1952, those folks want to reach people with the good news. They really did. But over time, things change, and you move from being outward focused to being inward focused. And I think, and that's true for every church. But how do we help our people not only become more outward focused, but then give them some tools to be able to engage in the mission Jesus has given us? Because that's what you got to remember. You know, Jesus is very clear in Matthew 28 that we're called to go make disciples of all nations. And if you are a Christian, that is now in your bones, man. The Spirit of God is in you.
Okay, but let me say something here.
That
I know it's controversial, but I don't care. I'm right and everybody else is wrong. And that's this simple idea. The reason people have lost the fire is because they're not impacted by the gospel anymore.
Well, that's true.
And if they're not impacted by the gospel's not going to have an impact through them.
No, that's true.
So as a pastor, doesn't it start there?
It does. It always starts with the pastor. I mean, you know what, you know, I mean, we're evangelists for other things. I mean, I love Chipotle burrito. Had one for lunch today. I have no fear at all in sharing that with the world. How great Chipotle is.
Why? Because you're passionate about it.
I love it. I'm passionate
about it. Let me say something even different. It's always, you know, I live in Kansas, and we got K-State, which is really hurting right now. We need to have some silent prayer for Kansas State basketball.
Sports. They didn't get in, did they?
Didn't get in.
Well, they have a terrible season.
They finished dead last.
Did they really?
Fired their coach.
I would point out that their coach came from Baylor.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but he was the...
It was a mess, too, wasn't it?
It was a mess.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, so anyway, but we have K-State and KU.
You know, everybody...
You'll have these passionate K-State fans that when the grandbaby's born, or the baby's born, right?
Yep.
The baby's born. They go get the little newborn K-State, future K-Stater, put on the newborn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the start. Right?
Yep.
After that, it's like all K-State all the time. We're a K-State family. Watch the K-State games, go to the KU games, or Chiefs.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Chiefs, same thing.
Yep.
And we're proud of it. And, you know, they wear red on Friday, and I wear my purple. And and yet, how many times when we raise our children in the gospel, they feel proud of it. They feel like it's important to my family. We do that with sports teams. Man, we wear these colors.
Oh, yeah.
Man, we're all for the Chiefs,
bro. We're all in.
We know who we are.
Yep.
But when it comes to the sharing the gospel and to owning that, it would be to God that we as parents would be as passionate about about communicating that and the importance of that to our kids, and the pride, not the pride in a bad way,
oh, yeah,
but not being ashamed of
not
the gospel.
Not being ashamed of the gospel. No. That's right. And it does start with us as pastors and leaders in the church. Yeah. Absolutely.
And, and it certainly starts with, and here's the key issue, is the relevance of the gospel in my life.
Mm,
you know, if it's not making a difference in my life, it's not going to make, like I said, it's not going to make a difference through my life. So I think as pastors, we have to teach the gospel in such a way that it really makes a difference in our lives. People are primed and ready. They've learned something. It's made a difference in their life. They're excited. And I think that's one of the reasons why some of our charismatic folks have had such success in their evangelism strategies, because they get excited about something.
Well, and
something new.
That's right. And when you're, and again, Clifton always talks about helping to warm their hearts toward the gospel. Mm-hmm. Well, how do we do that? One, well, it's got to be warm in my own heart.
That's for sure.
But this is also why I'm such a believer in preaching, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just going for your head. I'm going for your heart.
Yep.
I want to bring passion into that pulpit. I want to get some fire going in you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And that's the one of the roles of preaching. Because listen, if the fire isn't growing in your heart for the gospel, you're never going to want to share it. You're never going to have the courage to share it.
You know, I got to be really No, I don't got to be careful. I'll say
whatever. Just go for
it. Just go for it.
It's your podcast. Go.
I hear a lot of preaching today that is the content is perhaps better than preaching I heard in previous decades.
Mm.
I mean, it's certainly as good.
Really solid.
It's not worse.
Biblical, right.
Yeah, and part of that is that young men today, older men today, they have far more tools to pull from on the internet to do their sermon study. It's just, there's so much more you can get than we could have when we didn't have the internet and we had to, whatever books we had is all we had. So guys can have some really good insight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like preaching with passion is out of style.
Hmm.
You're like kind of old-fashioned when you do that. That's the only way I know to preach.
Me too.
But when I do, a lot of times people will come up to me invariably and say, I haven't heard that kind of preaching for a long time.
And
I'm thinking, you've been in church for 30 years. What are you hearing?
Yeah.
And so I will say, sometimes I'll watch some on the live stream, or not live stream, but YouTube or whatever. Mm-hmm. Some guys, young preachers, older preachers, Southern Baptist guys. And I'm thinking, you know, you 30 minutes and you really haven't broken a sweat.
Yeah.
I mean, you really haven't raised your voice.
Right.
I know it's important, but I mean, dude, this is like eternally important.
I know, that's right.
This is like Christ is everything.
Help me feel this,
I can't
man.
Imagine the Apostle Paul standing up there and just sort of going through the motions.
Oh, yeah,
I would think every part of his body would be saying, you know, to live is Christ.
Yes.
To die is gain.
Amen, amen.
I mean, it's not just a sentence. It's my whole purpose. It's my whole life. And I think people was, no doubt, when they saw Paul, here was a man who'd beaten up so many times, he probably stoned and left for dead. He probably had broken nose and broken face, and his back was a mass of scars, and he kept getting thrown in prison, and yet people wanted to follow him.
Mm.
I think there was something, you know, the passion that he had, he couldn't hide it.
That's right.
I want passion in your preaching.
No, that's right, man, for sure.
But and Martin Lloyd-Jones says it's logic on
fire. It's not
There's
just
a
logic.
A lot of logic, not much fire.
Yep, and it's not just fire.
No,
it's logic on fire.
No, I mean, we got,
and that's exactly right.
You know, bless their hearts, we got some, you know, some charismatic brothers who can preach fire like crazy, but they ain't saying anything.
Yeah.
You know, so that doesn't help.
No.
But boy, when you put the two together,
that's
and it's not, I'm not telling you to be manipulative or to be an actor.
No.
I'm not telling you to be phony, but I'm telling you, man, the gospel message, the message of Christ, the message of redemption, the message of forgiveness, the message of the danger of sin, it ought to cause us to be urgent about it.
Amen.
And it ought to, our language, our voice, our mannerism, it ought to show that this is important.
Okay, listen, our next podcast is going to be on preaching.
Okay.
But I think bringing it back around, and I agree with everything you're saying, is we need that passion to come through for evangelism, for reaching the lost.
It's hard to do that with a bottle of water and a table that looks like from Buffalo.
That's why I want to talk more, because I think there's been shifts. I agree. But anyway, all this to say, I want to propose a simple strategy to help you mobilize your people in evangelism, okay? And we just call it the I3 strategy.
We haven't even gotten to the topic yet, have
no,
we?
No, I know. Well, that was all the lead-in.
Okay.
We were talking
Could you only do three alliteration points? There's only three I?
Only he's three. A rookie
Listen,
at it.
Had six.
He's a rookie. He's well, just learning to do
the
it.
The goal is I actually want people to remember these three things and apply them. So here's what it is. Invest, invite, introduce, okay? And another way you could say it, the way we refer to this in our church is it's not just an evangelism strategy, it's a missionary strategy, okay? Yeah. We're trying to help our people begin to live and think as missionaries in right. Denver, okay? And so invest, what does that mean? We're talking about specific individuals that you can purposely invest your life in who don't know Jesus. Pursuing them, loving them, caring for them, become their friend. You know, so many Christians love to talk about evangelism, but they don't have any friends that are not believers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just the truth. And so if we really care about evangelism, we have to begin to be in the lives of those who are far from God. And so who are you investing in? And so with this I3, we would hand this out as bookmarks. In fact, we'll put a link to the little book that I wrote, Kyle, called Great Commission Revitalization, where we lay out this in more detail. But the point being, who are three people that you can begin investing in specifically? And we do this from our kiddos all the way up to our older saints. I mean, who are three people? Because if you're not thinking about faces, I'm just convinced your heart won't break. Mm-hmm. Your heart won't break. It's too easy to say, we need to reach those people. Now, who are you reaching? Who's God put in your life? So investing, inviting is number two, inviting. We want to be invitational churches.
How's that look like?
Okay. Well, part of it is this. What I say is, and I really mean it, it should be a weird week if you don't invite somebody to our church.
Really?
Every week to do something. Now, again, whether it's coming to Sunday morning, whether it's coming to a Bible study, whether it's coming to some event we're doing,
so you're
whatever.
You're trying to condition your people that it's normal.
It's normal.
In weekly, who can I invite to church this week?
It's normal. Now, listen, you're going to be turned down a lot, but that's okay. You just keep fishing. You keep throwing it out there. Why is invitation so important? Because there's something very powerful about the people of God. There's something very powerful about the Church of Jesus Christ that is a completely different, it's a counterculture to this culture.
Well, definitely the people you don't invite won't come.
Well, that's right. They're not coming.
I mean, that's pretty obvious.
They're not coming.
Yeah.
And so I just say, look, you know, don't you want, and I say this, I want my neighbors and my friends who don't know Jesus to encounter the love and grace and joy of this community of believers. There's nothing like it. And even if they come in and they're weirded out by it, I'd rather be weirded out by it and experience it than have never experienced it. And I said, the truth of the matter is what we know by God's grace in this church is they're going to be loved. They're going to be encouraged. They're going to be cared for. They're going to experience the grace of Jesus. And so the power of invitation, right? Now, again, we've been doing this for years. And of course, I'm not a legalist about it. I mean, a lot of people, you know, they're not doing it every week. But what I am trying to do is I'm trying to help create a culture in this church where we are invitational. I think of Levi's house in the Bible and inviting sinners to his home. You know
there
what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we want to invite people to encounter this Jesus. You know what I mean?
Now, one of the things that I've learned in my own life, and I teach this a lot, and that is that if the church and the message isn't relevant to you, then you're going to have a hard time convincing somebody else that it's irrelevant.
Well, that's true.
So,
that's true.
And here's a classic example. We have season tickets for the Kansas City Royals. It's sometimes very difficult to give those tickets away.
Amen.
Mm. I mean, seriously.
That's
you
true.
Know? I mean, so you get turned down, you know, whether it's church or the Royals.
That's true.
But here's the point. If it's relevant to them, it's a shoe-in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And how's it going to be relevant to them if you don't know them?
That's right.
And you haven't built a relationship with them.
It's all interconnected.
Sure.
I mean, the other thing I say is this. I mean, I'm not talking about, in your mind, the guy who is a passionate atheist. And I'm not. He's probably not the guy to invite right now. I'm talking about the large majority of people, the single mom who's broken and is looking for hope in her life. You know what I mean? I'm talking about the guy who's an addict and knows it and hates it and is trying to figure out how to find freedom in this in his life because it ruined his marriage.
Or the guy who just lost, an elderly man who just lost his wife.
He just lost his wife.
And he doesn't go to church anywhere and he lives in your neighborhood.
There's broken people everywhere. This is who Jesus went to. Mm-hmm. And I'm just telling you, especially if you're in a small church, you're like, well, we can't reach anybody. Listen, you're in a community filled with people like that.
That's right.
Who are broken, who are hurting. Nobody's knocking on their door, man.
Right.
Nobody's inviting them to church. That's how this church, Calvary Inglewood, began to grow. I will just tell you, is we began reaching people in this community who were broken and messed up, and we were a mess of a church. We still are, but we were a real mess for a long time, because here's what happens. When sinners come and meet Jesus, he changes their life, and they want to actually tell other sinners about
Jesus.
That's
exactly right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the impact.
Yeah. So I'd say quit trying to reach all the beautiful people and reach the sinners, man.
Yeah.
Go after the broken people who need Jesus. Yeah. And so when I say invite, that's what we're talking about.
I love it.
Eyes open to invite. And then the third one, so invest, invite, introduce. And here's the bottom line. The gospel is a message to be proclaimed. It's a message to be received. It's a message. So it's not enough just to say, like, for instance, I've heard some churches go with, well, invest and invite. Well, that's good, but that's not going to save anybody. They've got to hear a message. And maybe they hear it from your pastor. Praise God. But are you equipped to share the good news of the gospel, what Jesus has done in your life, and share that with your friends that you're investing in and inviting and talking to who don't know Jesus? So this is where I'd say practical evangelism training is actually really important.
All right, there are free evangelism resources at nam.net/evangelism.
Say that again.
We have some free evangelism resources at nam.net/evangelism. We'll put it in the show notes. If I'm not mistaken, and I could be, Kyle, I think there is on that website, this is so cool, Hirsch, you'll hear about this. It's an AI chat GP thing.
This new tool. Yep.
Where you could put in, for example, you could say a grieving widow, right? Or you could put in a Hindu or a Muslim or a Mormon or whatever, or Jehovah's Witness. And you could practice sharing your faith, the gospel, with them. And it'll respond to you as that. And you can get some practice. And then, it's there.
It's called Share the Gospel app.
And then it will actually grade you on how you did. Mm-hmm. So the reason people don't share the gospel is they've never done it. They're afraid to do it. Well, this will give you a chance to you got a friend at work who is an atheist, a friend at work who is, going through a divorce and doesn't go to church anywhere. Put that in there and let that kind of show you how to best carry. I think it's a really cool tool.
Other cool things about it is it will give feedback on how to do it better.
That's right.
If you had this conversation again, here's some things you could include.
Right.
The other last thing I'll say is there's three levels. There's easy, there's medium, and there's hard. So if you're having hard interactions. So all this to say, it's a brilliant tool to help our people begin to practice, gain some confidence, to go out into the real world and have spiritual conversations.
I tell our people, it all starts with 1 Peter 3:15, which is, sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and then be ready to give an answer.
Mm.
And I said, you have to be ready to give an answer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not ready to give an answer, you're not ready to evangelize. And really, that's where a lot of them want to, and like you said, they just don't know what to do or what to say because they're not ready to give an answer.
Yeah.
And so this is a brilliant way to come up with answers.
To practice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love that. That's great. Probably one of the best things we've ever talked about.
Well, all this to say, you just need a simple, you've got to have a strategy. It's not enough. I just know it's not enough to just say, we need to share our faith. People need Jesus.
Yeah.
Who's going to disagree with that if you're a believer?
Yeah.
We have to equip our people to begin to live on mission, especially if they haven't been for decades maybe.
Mm-hmm.
How do we set fresh fire? It begins in our hearts. It comes through the pulpit and our preaching to practical strategy like this I3 strategy.
Mm.
That's all I got.
Wow, that's rich. And I hope it's been beneficial for you. Well, I'll tell you what, just that announcement alone on what is it called? Share the Gospel app.
Share the Gospel app.
Wow. Yep. That can be life-changing for your people. And you need to take advantage of that. Thank you, North American Mission Board, for allowing us to be here. And thanks to Calvary Inglewood. And thanks to you for participating here. Please make a note to maybe share the idea of this podcast with another fellow pastor.
Invite someone.
Yeah.
To share.
Invite them.
And then invest in this podcast by subscribing.
Yeah.
And then introduce a friend to it.
Come on. Apply what you've learned.
Apply what you've learned today.
That was really our motive in this.
It was.
You know what? They've already turned us off.
I know they have. They don't listen. They turned off halfway through.
They've switched off.
I know.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.